Alrighty, welcome into the Soft Lock Cafe, episode one. Let's see what's on the menu.
What's on the menu?
So I guess first and foremost, who the fuck are we? Why do people care? What do we got going on here? So tell the people about yourself.
All right. Well, my name is Michael. I go by Oath. I'm a kooky, wacky, fun guy. And I think that the things that I bring is I like a lot of gaming stuff. I teach a lot. My current career path right now, I'm an instructional designer at a refrigeration company. So I'm like a gamey, techie kind of person. I really like that. I like to have fun. What about you?
So I'm Vincent. I go by Notice the Z because it's Vincent with a Z because other Vincents just don't know how to spell their name right. Is really what it boils down to. I also work in education. I teach middle school. I'm a paraprofessional, so I work in special education, mostly supporting 7th and 8th grade science classes. So
just two teachers doing their thing better than other teachers because we're the best teachers out there.
So true. If I wasn't the best teacher, would I have a fucking bracelet that says "Teacher Vincent" that a student made me? No, I wouldn't.
Oh my gosh.
Real. I keep it on me.
I wish my technicians would make me charm bracelets, but unfortunately they're grown men. So
yeah, so your students don't love you. That's crazy.
No, they don't love me. Most of the time, if I'm sending training out to people, it's because they've fucked up somewhere and they need like remedial training. That's the 90% of what I'm sending out is they have not done what they're supposed to do.
You're the bad guy coach. That's like the ISS coordinator at our school. I was like, damn, that must be tough because like, one, people come in with a negative disposition of you because, like, you're like, oh, this fucking ISS person. Like, but then, like, you don't want to build that relationship because then they'll be like, well, shit, I'll just get ISS and going out with the ISS teacher. So, like, it's a no-win scenario.
Were you in ISS a lot?
When I was in school, not really. Because when I was in school, I was like, I got really good grades and I would get done with my work really quickly. And then I would make it everyone else's problem. And I would just, like, not shut the fuck up. I'm honestly, like, but, like, because I was, like, a good kid, I never got, like, reprimanded like I probably should have.
No, that's fair. I've been in ISS a few times. I know what that room is like. Where they send you in that cold room, the AC on, like, the fattest AC you've ever seen coming in that room. Like, it is a brisk 60. I said 70. 60 degrees in there. And you're sitting there freezing your little ass off, and they put the paper on your desk, and it's like some bullshit ass work that has nothing to do with what you're actually learning in your class. It's always how that is. And then you got like the actual bad kids sitting next to you that like are like carving shit into their desks with knives. Like it's the end of the world Mad Max situation and they want to leave their mark on the world before they're gone.
Lord. Our school, it's pretty chill because we all have MacBooks now. All students in most schools do. And so you just fucking like send them their work online. It's like, do this. Thanks.
That must be a lot easier than back in the day because we did not have MacBooks when I was in school.
Yeah. When I was in school, we didn't have that shit either.
Yeah. These new kids.
The kids don't know shit about that.
They really don't. You know what else the kids don't know about? Huh? They don't know shit about games. I swear, these kids nowadays, they come and all they know is iPads. You put these new kids in front of like computers and you put them in front of like a mouse and keyboard and they'll try to touch the monitor. I swear to God, I've seen that happen before.
So the 7th graders, like when they first get their laptop, most of them just straight up don't know how to type at the start of the year.
Really?
Yeah.
Like I can only imagine, like, if you, because these kids, they are into games. Like, do they all know controller? Like, is that just it? Is just like Fortnite on controller?
Granted, couldn't tell you. Fucking a lot of kids, like, we have so many Flash games that these kids play. But some shit that's like hype. I love seeing them like play the games that like I still played when I was in school. Like they'd be playing Cookie Clicker. I'm like, hell yeah. So we did that shit in high school. So fucking to see the kids still playing Cookie Clicker fucking 11 years later. I'm like, hell yeah, brother.
Has there been any update to that game or is it just exactly
the same? It is exactly the same.
Zero updates.
Yeah.
Making $5 a sale on Steam is insane. Because that game used to be free.
Oh no, yeah, it's still, they still do the like browser-based one.
Oh, okay, so the browser-based one is free, but if you want it on Steam, it's $5, I think. I wonder how many purchases you get from Cookie Clicker because there are like a billion Cookie Clicker clones. There's like the AFK Journey, which is pretty popular on iPhone.
Yeah, it's crazy like how like Cookie Clicker kind of was like the birth of idle games.
It's true. Why don't you idle some bitches?
Damn. I was going to ask what your favorite idle game is. I used to play the shit out of Tap Titans.
Tap Titans?
Yeah.
I think my favorite idle game is probably like Adventure Capitalist. I think that one's a pretty sick one.
You're fucking capitalist shill. That's crazy.
I'm the Monopoly guy. I did that. People are going to think I'm in the Illuminati now. No!
Fucking fall out apart already.
No!
How did you get into streaming, I guess?
How did I get into streaming? Yeah. Probably my older sister. Yeah. And I just grew up watching like Markiplier, Jacksepticeye, and they would occasionally stream. My first foray into Twitch was actually through this streamer called The Gamers Joint, who streamed Kingdom Hearts. And I went from YouTube to like 2 a.m. because he's a New Zealander, so he's on completely opposite time.
The fucking Kiwis.
Yeah, the Kiwis, literally. And I would just watch him play like Critical Mode Kingdom Hearts 2 and just yell. That's all The Gamers Joint would do, is just scream. You're like, you wanna be fuck? Like, shit, like, he would literally like call things ridiculous shit. And I was, that scratched my brain as a kid. So that was like how I got on the website. And then my first stream was like, I was like 15 or 16, and I like wanted to play some Minecraft, and there was like three streams in, it was the craziest shit happened. I had like this Reddit post made about me in this like DDoS subreddit, like, hey, this kid is like streaming, you know, go mess with him type shit.
What the fuck?
And they literally came in, and they were like 50 people in my chat, like all at once, just everybody like came in. And they were like, they instantly started harassing me. I swear. They harassed me. And then they sent the DDoS through, and my dad was so upset because it like stopped his TV and his shows and stuff.
Yeah.
So after that, I couldn't stream for like 2-3 years. And then I was able to stream again once I left the house. It was like no streaming in the house after I got absolutely nuked.
How old were you when that happened?
Like 15, 16.
Good Lord.
Yeah, it was not okay. I was scared. Yeah. I was very scared. I was like, oh, what did I do? I was like, we're never going to have internet back again. We're never getting internet.
This is going to ruin the tour, as it turns out.
It's going to ruin the tour. What tour? World tour.
That's, yeah, okay, wow. This is lore. I did not know any of that.
Yeah. Well, I don't think anybody does, because nobody really watched me then. And I was like literally at zero viewers, and then all of a sudden it jumps to like 60, 70 out of nowhere. It was ridiculous.
Was it the same name?
Yeah. I was just still, this is my oath. Absolutely, okay. Yeah.
Oh, where does the name Oath come from?
Oath? Oath Keeper. I didn't think about it for a second.
I was like, I knew this one.
I'm a Kingdom Hearts 2 head. I am all about that. I plan on getting like a bunch of swords inked on my body. I want to get like a Buster sword. I want to get like Brotherhood from Final Fantasy X. I want to get the energy sword from Halo. Like, I want to be sorted the fuck up.
Okay.
I think it'll be pretty cool. I don't know.
Any other Keyblades or just Oath Keeper?
Probably Oblivion. Yeah. I like Oblivion. And they're kind of like the duality type thing. So that's where I'm at. That's what I would want to do. But I think I always like get geared up to get a tattoo. And then I always get worried because it's permanent. And I don't know an artist like that well. You know what I mean? So I just kind of got to stop being a massive pussy.
Sure. So you've got the Oath Keeper tattoo. Any other tattoos? Fuck you. Let's talk about me.
Yeah, let's talk about your tattoos.
Well, I was gonna say, let's talk about my fucking streaming career, dick ass.
Yeah, all right, let's talk about your streaming career then.
Fucking similar vibes. I grew up watching like a lot of like sketch comedy, like Tomska, Crabsticks, Bo Burnham, people like that. Kind of Smosh, but not really. Like Smosh, I don't know. It always felt like too corporate for me. Even back when it was just the two dudes in the camera, like the production value was just too high. I was like, nah, this isn't real.
There's no way these two 18-year-olds still have fucking blood money behind them.
Exactly. Fucking Nepo babies of YouTube. And so like that was like my whole vision. I was like, that's always what I've wanted to do. And then but rather than like just say, fuck it, we're going to be a YouTuber, I decided to go to marketing school so I could do advertising, so I could get like paid to make commercials, which is essentially like doing YouTube videos, but like like a stable source of income.
It's fire.
And then when I was second semester senior year, this was like post-COVID, because COVID happened like my junior year, and I was like, holy fuck, the capitalists are the bad guys. I can't do this.
Are we the baddies?
I can't be someone who just like produces capital for a corporation and like, you know, helps like, you know, take people's money out of their pockets, basically. And so I dropped out. That's all it took. I just had a realization, because like I was in a supply chain management class, and they were like, hey, if you want to start a business, you should start it in like these states because they have less lax labor laws, so your workers are less likely to strike against you. I was like, what a fucking insane thing to fucking like teach, when you could just teach, hey, if you treat your employees not like shit, they won't strike against you.
That's insane.
Yeah. And so like it was like, that was like my waking up moment. I was like, we're so fucking cooked as a society if this is what we're doing.
Z's Joker moment is realizing that capitalism is bad.
For real. And so then I quit. I was just hanging out doing like some retail stuff. And in my YouTube feed pops up Ludwig. It was around the time of like Pokestuck 2, because that was the first stream I tuned in for, was him beating Pokestuck 2. Yeah, it was a good one. I also was like really into like the Botes sisters, like PogChamps was happening and things like that.
Yeah.
And so those were like the first two people I started watching on Twitch. And then because I have autism and can't enjoy things in a normal capacity, I couldn't just watch Ludwig. I had to like get myself into the entire like Ogryn extended universe. So we started watching Cotter Reed's Pants and Cutie and Atrioc and Stans. And when I was watching Stans, he was watching Taskmaster. And I was like, damn, this shit's fire. And so I fucking sped ran all 10 seasons in like literally like 9 days.
I love that show.
Yeah, it was so good.
So good.
I watched all 10 seasons that they had available on YouTube. And then when I got done, I had seen that he had uploaded a video called Task Manager, where he was tweeting out tasks for people to compete in. And you would do the task and you'd film yourself doing it. And then you'd submit it to Stans. He'd rate you on 1 to 5. I watched episode 1. I was like, damn, I could do that shit. And then I won episode 2.
Easy.
And then
definitely got paid out, right?
I did. Okay. I got paid for everything except the finale.
Oh.
spoilers. So yeah, I ended up competing for the rest of the season. I won again on episode 7. I was the first person to win 2 episodes. Danzikins was the second person. He ended up winning episode 9, which is a little bullshit, I'll be honest. Stans gave out the softest 6 he's ever given out. Because it's supposed to be like a 1 to 5, but if you like go above and beyond and like, I don't know, get Stans' name tattooed on your ankle, sometimes you get a 6. Again,
unfortunate.
Danzikins just took like a 3-mile walk on a beach with a stick behind him, and he got a 6. I'm like, fuck off. Because we were supposed to make the longest uninterrupted line.
Yeah.
And so he just like made a line in the sand on the beach with a stick, and he got a 6 for that.
That's incredible. What did you do, though?
I broke into a fucking abandoned apartment. And got a carpenter's pencil, and I made a like 1.2 mile long fucking line on the walls, just going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Only a 5, though. It's fine.
Only a 5?
Not salty.
Did you lose by 1 point?
In Stans' defense, there was about to be like a 9-way tie.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, so he gave Danzikins a 6 to break the tie, but again, I'm still mad about it. I should have won episode 9. Episode 9 was like my favorite week. But then. More traditional to the actual show, they took the top 5 point earners for the season and sent them like an invite. The top 5 were me, Ants, Lion Eagle, Trash Built, and his name is Joshua Shorter. I am Shorter, the goat. That was his name. Shorter.
Cool.
Yeah. So the 5 of us made the top 5, and they sent us like tasks, like similar to Task Manager. It was like, you know, don't read it until you're filming. And it's like, your time starts now. Like, it was like a little more honor based because, like, you know, we had skin in the game and we cared about the shit. And then surprise, surprise, I ended up winning somehow. Like, my shit was so bad. I was like literally DMing Sheep, one of the producers. And I was like, do you ever feel yourself like losing the finale? Like, my shit was so ass. But I fucking somehow ended up winning the whole thing.
You're sitting there like, nervous, like, oh, I'm about to lose, and then Stans is like, and the winner is,
yeah, because they literally brought us on like live for the last one, because we did a live task at the end of it too.
That's fire.
Yeah, we had to go back and forth naming tasks from the season, and if like if you couldn't think of one in 10 seconds or if you said one that already got said, then you got out. And so I ended up winning that, which I literally think winning the live task is what put me over the edge to win the whole thing. And it was crazy, and the fucking I was like super cheesy and I started crying, and people were like, oh bro, it's not that deep. Literally, my grandma was dying in the hospital, and like us watching Task Manager back when like the episodes got released was like one of the last things we ever did while she was alive. Yeah. And so I had filmed the live show before she passed, and so like I told her, I was like, hey, I won, but like she passed away before the episode came out. So
damn.
Yeah,
that's rough.
Yeah, her and my dad, they found out I got the tattoo by watching the episode.
All of that just to not get paid out for the finale, though.
Yeah, so I got $50 for winning episode 2. I got randomly got 100 for 7 because he was like, because he filmed it at Ludwig's house. He was like, ah, fuck it, whoever wins this week gets an extra 50. And so I was like, sick. And then he was supposed to get a 3D model of his head, kind of like the George Davies bust from Taskmaster.
Producer Yegog here. So Davies is pronounced Davis, which I can live with, but what I couldn't live with is I'm calling him George. It's Greg. It's Greg Davis. Where the hell did he get George from? Fake fan.
Mm-hmm. And I was supposed to get that. He did give me the 100 for winning, but I never got the trophy.
No bust.
No bust.
So no head?
No, so no head.
So no head.
Oh, no head.
Unfortunate.
And while doing that, I had done a lot of things, like reaching out to people. Like we did episode 6. We did like the crossover of like a bunch of like recurring characters from the show. It was like me, Kantz, Hurley, Jody, Lion Eagle, Evan Gow was on there. Shorter was on there. And I basically just make like a contestant Discord for all of us to like bounce ideas off of each other and just like kind of like elevate the show. And through doing that, I met like Curly and Three Try Andy and Lion Eagle, who were like they were streamers. And I was like, all right, I guess if I'm fucking hanging out with streamers, I'll do streaming. Because my whole thing, because like one of the reasons I was so successful in the show is because I like had all of my tasks as like scripted bits, and I was just like doing sketch comedy, which was sick and fun. And I love like just the control that you get when you're filming a YouTube video. And like live streaming made me kind of nervous because I was like, you know, I'm like funny with a script. Like, you know, it's easy to be funny for like 3 minutes, but when you have to like constantly fill the dead air, it becomes a lot. And so I didn't know if I had that dog in me to be a streamer. But since I was hanging out with streamers, I said, fuck it, let's go. Let's do the streamer thing. And it turned out pretty well. Like my second or third stream ever, I'd hosted a Super Auto Pets tournament and Stans rated me. So I had like 300 viewers on my second or third stream.
I won
that. And Trash Built last minute dropped out. And he was like, hey, you should put this guy in as my replacement. And I was like, I don't fucking know who this guy is, but sure, fuck it. And then you fucking end up winning my Super Auto Pets tournament. And that's how we met.
Don't ever step to me in Super Auto Pets. I'm the GOAT.
You are the GOAT.
And then who was so mad that I won, and they had to like come in and 1v1 me after the fact? Like someone
came in and thug finals to you?
Yeah,
I have no idea anything about that.
Yeah, I got thug final at the end of the Super Auto Pisser, which is like an auto battler game in the style of auto chess, and you like put your little pets and they'll have their little abilities. And I won the tournament at the end. I don't know who, I forget their name, but they literally came in and they were like, you are ass. I could have won that easy if I was in the tournament. I was like, let's run it then. And then I beat their ass anyways. And they were so mad because they were like, you're lucky. You just get lucky every time. And I'm like,
your ass.
That sucks to suck.
Damn, that's wild.
That's crazy. But Z, you're in North Carolina for the first time. How are you liking it?
I guess for context, I live in Kansas City, Missouri, and you live in fucking
Hickory, North Carolina.
Okay, I don't know if you wanted to say city or not, but yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah, you live in North Carolina. Missouri is a very interesting place in that, like, Kansas City and St. Louis are, like, dots of blue in an entire sea of red. And you can, if you look on the map, they are literally trying to get out of the state. Like, Kansas City's on the far west border, St. Louis is on the far east border, and then everything else in the middle is just fucking ass.
It's like mostly fields, right?
We have like college towns and we have caves and we have like rivers and like forests and stuff. It's like kind of cool, but it's a lot of farms as well. Yeah. So basically like it's 15 minutes outside of Kansas City, you're in the fucking sticks. And so I kind of expected, North Carolina to be very similar. It feels kind of right. I feel like we're in just like kind of like a bubble. And if we were to like go like 20 minutes in any direction, we would be more in the sticks.
Well, I feel like there's like small areas of sticks, but like the bigger cities are very close to it. Like there's Statesville, which is like 20, 30 minutes away. There's Mooresville, which is like 20, 30 minutes away. There's Charlotte, which is like 45 minutes away. And like there's not much in between, sure, but like they're not that far away. You know what I mean? They're pretty close. But you've tried a couple of things that you've never tried before. You tried Bojangles.
Fire.
Fire. You've tried the Checkers fries today. We did do that.
So I like we had mentioned, I fucking have been getting the Checkers fries from the frozen section of Walmart because they're fucking gasolina. But having them hot and fresh was crazy.
Yeah. How are the frozen ones? I've never had those.
They're really good. Like honestly, like fucking call me a hater.
Don't do it.
I liked it better.
No! Oh!
And those motherfuckers were hot and fresh too.
Yeah, they had literally just come out of the fryer. They burned my mouth a little bit. Yeah. They were very hot.
Yeah.
What other things have we tried besides Bojangles?
We had Moe's.
We had Cookout. We had Moe's.
Yep.
So your Cookout tray. What was the tray that you got?
I got the West Double Burger West Style.
Okay.
And then because I'd had Cookout before, but I feel like I had a bad run at it. I'm not a huge quesadilla guy. So I didn't get a quesadilla. Instead, I got chicken nuggies, and okay. I got absolutely fucking dicked on because I got three nuggies.
He doesn't listen to my advice at all.
I guess.
I
got the Cajun fries, and the Cajun fries were a slapper, and the sweet tea.
I think the Cajun fries are probably the best side. I like the chicken quesadilla and like the chicken wraps because I'm a big chicken forward kind of person. Mm-hmm. But the double burger, classic. Can't go wrong with the double burger. And the barbecue sauce there is pretty good. It's pretty sweet. Mm-hmm. But I think ultimately they're using like Sweet Baby Ray's or some shit like that.
Sweet Baby Ray's goated.
Yeah, I think they're using just like the most basic diluted barbecue sauce possible. But Cookout's a staple. Bojangles is a staple. We're about to go try some classic North Carolina vinegar-based barbecue tonight.
Yeah, because like he's been talking a hot fucking game. Because I was like, growing up in Kansas City, I was never a huge fan of barbecue in the first place. But every time I would travel somewhere else and try the barbecue, I was like, damn, Kansas City's is better. That's crazy. So like, I'm not like a Kansas City ride or die or anything, but I just have yet to find better fucking barbecue. And so I used to work at a college, and we had like a rotating concept restaurant. And one of the ones that we did was a barbecue place, and we had it was a Cattleman's Carolina Gold barbecue sauce that you could put on shit.
Yeah.
That shit was fucking insane. It's kind of like honey mustard, but barbecue sauce.
Oh, wow.
It's just fucking delicious.
So it's like super sweet?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I fucking, I don't know, it's like sweet, it was tangy, it was fucking, it's good. And you could, like, so you get whatever meat you want, you put that shit on some mac and cheese, and then you fucking put the barbecue sauce on it.
Mm.
Dude, that shit was gas. Mm. That was the only time I would like literally, because I used to go to UMKC, and I was working at Rockhurst, because if you work at the same school you attend, you can only work 20 hours a week,
yeah.
And that shit don't pay the bills.
No.
And so I was attending UMKC, and I was working at Rockhurst, and I would literally, like, I think like twice, I came in on my day off to get fucking the barbecue shit, because it was so good.
That's incredible. So the experience that you're about to have is probably going to be different than anything you've ever seen, because this place is open for 4 hours, 2 days a week.
Yes.
It's open on Saturday. And it's
okay, which is, that is signs of a good restaurant. One of the better places in Kansas, because like in Kansas City, we have the big three, right? We have Gates, you have Jack Stack, and you have Arthur Bryant's. Those are like the big three. And
then I went to the first one you said.
I was at Oklahoma Joe's as well. Gates, you went to Gates?
I think so, yeah.
Okay. I was like, burst, like, I don't know. Gates has good stuff, but like the thing Kansas City is known for is their burn ends. Gates has shit burn ends.
Oh, that's tough.
But they have good, they have really good other stuff, and I like their sauce the best, probably. Like Gates Extra Hot is fucking goated. But their burn ends are ass.
That's crazy.
I was like, I like Q39, that's my favorite place. But one of the most like highly requested people, like, oh my god, this place is fucking slapped. It's called Heart, and it's same thing. It's open on Saturdays only for like 4 hours. Well, the getting's good.
I guess like there must be a process, right, before they get the barbecue out that like just they have to use all week to prep it, or maybe I don't know what it is. Maybe they're just that good that they're like, nah, we need 4 hours, that's it. That's all you got.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, but so the way that it works is cash only. Mm-hmm. So we can't pay with a card. They won't take it. They won't let us in if we don't bring cash.
I'm gonna Venmo them.
So we gotta pull up with cash, and it's like, so the way that I remembered, I haven't been in like 5 or 6 years, but you would either go like up to like the bar style, and they would serve you the barbecue and like all the sides that you wanted. It's not like buffet where you serve yourself. It's like you give them your plate and you're like, yeah, I'll get that. Kind of like home style, family style.
Sure.
kind of thing. And once you get your food, you have this ketchup bottle sized barbecue sauce, and you just put it, just drench it as much as you want, as much just go until your hand hurts. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Go until your hand hurts, and then you got to lock in, because that's when the clogging starts. That's when the line dance and the square dancing starts. This is so, like, backwoods country. It is going to be an experience.
Yeah.
And if we go, like, we'll probably go a little bit after it opens, because it opens at 5. We'll probably be there a little bit after that. But, like, they do, like, whole square dancing. They do, like they do really everything. They've got, like, bluegrass performers that come up as well, like, different kind of bands. It's super cool.
Mm-hmm.
But the barbecue is the highlight. Like, that's my favorite barbecue spot ever, for sure.
Okay. Yeah. I'm excited to try it. Fucking, I was like, North Carolina, y'all are wild. Fucking, we had to go to the store to get some stuff for a 24-hour stream. And on our way to the store, we passed by a fucking, it was just, like, two little girls and their mom doing, like, a lemonade stand. And she's, like, out on the street. She was, like, waving a sign and stuff. We're like, oh, shit, we just hit that on the way back. Both what happened on our way back.
All right, so we were at the store for like 15 minutes, and on the way back, we ran into a cop car. We like turned right around the corner, and there was a cop at the bottom of the hill, just right there, lights on, and they were out of the car. They were writing on notepads. They were having a conversation with the mom, and I think they got shut down.
I can't imagine how like bad of a day that cop had to be having to be like, you know what I should do? Fucking shut down this 8-year-old's lemonade stand. Because, like, I get, like, legally you have to have, like, permits to, like, sell food. That's, like, a thing that you have to, like, clear with the state. But also, like, fuck off. Hear me out on this? Fuck off.
You just can't have shit in North Carolina. One thing about a hickory cop is that they are going to find a way to ruin anybody's day that they can. It's just true. And it's not even the end of the month, so, like, it's not a quota thing for sure. You know what I mean?
And I was thinking, like, do you think it was a cop that was just, like, driving by, and he was like, oh, time to shut down a lemonade stand? Or do you think, like, some fucking, like, bum-ass neighbor was like, I gotta report these kids?
Well, the neighbor was like, these kids making this noise pollution. It's like that scene in Shameless. It's like, I don't like how they're bringing unseemly characters into my neighborhood.
Fucking, honestly, Poppy wasn't even worried about the fact that they were, like, you know, illegally selling food without, like, food handlers permits and things like that. He was just like, damn, imagine the traffic jam this is going to cause when the shit is fucking bumper to bumper, people lining up to get the lemonade. What'd you drop?
Laptop.
That's crazy. My work laptop? Sick.
Yeah. It's fine.
It's fine.
Everything is fine.
I'm trying to see if I have anything incriminating on there. I don't think I do.
Nothing incriminating.
Just doxing myself in episode one.
It's got slurs written all over it. I did call that cop to go get them, though. Fuck them kids. Those kids did not deserve to have shit. I didn't get to have a lemonade kit stand when I was young. We were in the grocery store. I was like, 911, what's your emergency? I was like, these kids are causing problems on my street, all right?
It's crazy that you're, one, shutting down young entrepreneurs, two, that you are shutting down women in Women's History Month. Fucking get them, chat.
Please. What are you going to do, honestly? I don't know.
Shut down an 8-year-old's lemonade stand is what I'm going to do, as it turns out. Real easy on that one.
It was better than my first instinct when we drove past, which was...
Hey, I got to cut that out, please.
Nah, leave that in, Yegog. Leave that in.
So Yegog's our producer, by the way.
Shout out Yegog, the producer.
Yeah, fucking best producer in the game. He made a post. Man, fuck, that's something I should add to the slideshow. We did a 24-hour stream, and we called it the Oath and Z Suck and Fuck Off, presented by Slim Jim.
Presented by Slim Jim.
And then fucking... He made a poster for it. It was so sick. It was a little stick figure.
He drew, like, stick figures from, like, the game Stick Fight and a couple of flames in the background. It was very good, very funny.
I was like, yeah, I gotta go and throw a picture.
Yeah. That's funny. We've been doing a lot of streaming. That's true. We've been streaming pretty much every day this week except for today. I'm kind of glad we took one day not streaming, Loki.
Yeah, so we did climb a fucking mountain on our day off. So
yeah. This morning we went up to Baker's Mountain and we did, like, the loop trail around everything. And there were a couple of hills that we were struggling on. That's for sure. Because Z is used to the flatlands, right? The middle of the country is pretty flat.
In Missouri, our hiking trails aren't, like, that intense. And then also, like, I took a trip to Utah, and we were hiking, like, 7-8 miles a day, but it was, like, all, like, pretty flat. Wow. So fucking, we only did 3 miles, but, like, a lot of it was just, like, fucking up a hill. It was like,
We got to the very top, and we had to, like, chill for a second in, like, a side gazebo because someone was in the main one. We were just, like, struggling to catch our breath for, like, a good 3 minutes, and the views were amazing, though. I think every spot that had, like, the observation point, like, we had the top of the mountain, we had, like, little rock outcropping that we saw, like, all those areas had, like, super cool views, and I just like the mountains, the areas in general that we were at, because, I mean, it's just, like, uninterrupted woods for the most part, and you could just see, like, the true expanse of nature. There's a gorge nearby called Linville Gorge that we should check out next time you come around. That's super cool. But they're like about an hour and a half away, and it's like this massive gorge that you can, like, literally walk down through the middle of the gorge and, like, see up on all the walls and, like, all the forestry down below. It's a tough hike. It's probably tougher than this one, but it's probably worth it, I would say.
Dude, when I was in Utah, there was one of the paths that was, like, because they had, like, easy, medium, hard. There was one that was labeled impossible, and, like, you literally couldn't do it without, like, a guide to, like, take you through. I was like, what the fuck kind of hike are you on?
Jeez.
I want to go back and do it so bad. They said they only run it, like, 2 or 3 times a year, and you have to, like, sign up.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's like a special, like, Boston Marathon style hike.
Basically.
You gotta, like, qualify, do some other hikes first to get in. Mm-hmm. Incredible.
I clear.
You clear?
Probably not.
I don't know. Your hiking cred? I don't know.
Like I said, I was crushing in Utah. I literally just had, like, my water bottle and, like, a fucking backpack with some fucking trail mix in it, and I fucking I was chilling.
How long? Like, how long were you out there?
We were out there for a week because I like to do shit on my spring break.
Camping and stuff?
Yeah. This is spring break two years ago. It was so Utah, fucking crazy place. Be like fucking 85 in the middle of the day, and then it gets down to like 19 at night.
This is the home of the Mormons, correct?
Yeah, yes, but we weren't at Salt Lake. We were in like Moab.
Mormons don't make it out that far.
I don't know. There were some fucking BSU kids that we ran into on the way to. It was insane. So we went to like the arch, right, in Arches National Park. It's like the one that's like on their license plate and shit. We like went to that arch.
Yeah.
It's literally like a fucking line of like 40 fucking people. Just like hanging out, waiting to like all go take pictures of the thing. Like all these people made this like 6 mile hike just to fucking stand in a line. It was crazy. We got some fucking sick ass pictures. I can probably send some to like throw up.
It's like the average Disney World experience. Walking 6 miles just to stand in the line for the fucking Space Mountain for 2 hours.
Have you ever been to Disney?
I've been to Disney once when I was in college as like a part of the Student Government Association trip.
Sure.
There was like a leadership conference happening in the same city, and we're like, fuck it, we're gonna go to Disney World too as well at the same time. So we went, we saw like Animal Kingdom, we saw like Epcot. I don't know the names of all of them, but I think the highlight of my trip was just finding like a little Stitch glass figurine. Like, I love Lilo and Stitch, and just being able to get a little Stitch figurine made my day, made my whole week, honestly.
Yeah.
Also, the hotel was cooler than the parks as well.
Yeah.
The hotel was like one of the Animal Kingdom resort kind of hotels, so like you would literally go out and they like had animals outside, and then you could like walk around out of your room and go just like chill in the sauna pool area, like the hot tub or like the main pool area, and there's just like animals chilling everywhere. It's crazy.
Damn.
Yeah. I don't know how they do that, but they just got them.
Yeah, I'm too poor for that shit. I've never been to Disney. And then fucking the only trip I took in college like that was I took a biogeography class because I was a major in marketing and a minor in environmental sustainability. I was the only one with that combination in the entire like 20,000 student body of UMKC. Ain't no one got it like me. We went to the Buffalo River in Arkansas, and she like thinly veiled it. I was like, oh yeah, you know, we're gonna like stop and like learn about stuff. It was a fucking float trip. It was a school sponsored float trip. She was even like, hey, not that I'm condoning this, but if you guys wanted to buy alcohol, this is the last gas station to stop at.
Oh my God.
Yeah. She was based.
That is crazy.
Yeah, so we just spent fucking 3 days floating the Buffalo River.
That's mad cool.
Yeah.
I would love to go out there and do some hiking sometime. I've been in a lot of different states because I grew up military. Sure. And that, like, out there, the top left area, like, that middle left-ish is, like, the big area that I've never been. Like,
I was like, that's the main thing I wanted to do this year was try to get a camping or, like, a hiking trip up in, like, the Pacific Northwest, like, Oregon or Seattle. Seattle's in Oregon. Washington, Oregon, someplace around there.
Do the Rockies go all the way through there? Or do they, like, go through Colorado and, like, take a right?
Colorado's, it goes, like, through Colorado, like, pretty much straight up.
Okay.
Yeah.
So probably not. Many of those.
That would not be that. But it's like Redwood Forest is like the big thing in the Pacific Coast.
Like Yosemite and stuff out there.
Yosemite is in. Is it? Is it in California? Am I fake?
I think Yosemite is in multiple states, possibly.
I don't know, but I know there are mountains, but it's not the Rockies in Yosemite.
Gotcha. Okay. That's cool. Yeah. So when I was in the military, I was in California for a while. I've been inside of Yosemite, and I've seen like the massive trees going up as like a toddler. Well, not a toddler. I was like 8.
Did you go to the place where you can murder people legally?
As an 8-year-old, I can just say I don't really know what happened. I was just kind of there.
Did you get murdered legally in Yosemite?
I did. Crazy. I'm dead right now.
Oh my God.
Welcome to the podcast.
Welcome to the podcast.
Welcome to the Deadlock Cafe. Wait, they've already taken that name. Shit, Steam's gonna come for our ass.
God damn it. I was thinking Ratchet Deadlock. I forgot there was a whole fucking like what is it? It's like a fucking League style game, but it's like FPS, right? That's what Deadlock is.
It's like a third person MOBA, yeah. Almost in the way vein of if you've ever played the Epic Games MOBA, I think it's called Paragon. I don't know if you ever are you familiar with Paragon.
No, I'm not a MOBA head.
They just ripped Paragon shit, basically bar for bar, and made the map a little better.
Yeah,
that's like the shop is basically the same. I wouldn't even lie, like the Paragon and the Deadlock shop is pretty similar.
Who did Deadlock?
Steam, just Valve.
Just Valve, okay.
Yeah, damn. It's internal.
Yeah, I'm sure. Again, poor down on their luck company, Epic, can't get any wins.
Well, this is before Fortnite, to be clear. Like, Paragon shut down right as Fortnite was gaining popularity because they're like, all right, we're not making shit else but this now. And here we are, like 5 years, 6 years later, they're going to put fucking Mark S. from Severance in Fortnite. They get a Heli R Fortnite skin.
Are you going to get the Severance Fortnite skin? Do you already have it?
That's not it. That's not a thing. I was just joking.
Give it like 2 weeks.
No, trust me, it's coming after the season 2 finale. That's what I'm saying. Is like, we are not far out from that happening at all.
So, fucking, why are we called Zoblock Cafe?
I think just because we kind of wanted to be related to gaming. You know, we're both gamers. We both also are...
To be clear, I do not game a second if it's not on stream.
Oh, God.
I am not built like that.
I won't lie. I play games every single day of my life, both on and off stream. I stream, like, not every day, obviously. But I do game every day without fail.
That's
like,
crazy.
No matter what. I mean, I guess we gamed yesterday, didn't we?
Not off stream. Or not on... Yeah, not off stream.
Did we do it on stream?
What did we even do yesterday?
What did we do yesterday?
Yeah, no, yesterday we didn't game. We played fucking... Or we streamed the Beef Wellington, and we made a candy tier list.
Okay. So I guess technically I didn't play a game yesterday. I forgot my ass. Fake fan. Oh, no.
He's not real chat. Exposed.
But Softlock also is like when you get stuck in a video game and you can't get out of the level. And that's kind of like us. You're stuck in here with us and you can't get out. Like and subscribe.
Well, and that's crazy, too. That's also not where I was getting that question to lead us. I was getting that question to lead us to talking about gaming news. Because that's one of the main things we want to do, is we want to be a source for, like, gaming news. And, like, hopefully, if we just do this, we can get, like, some developers on and just, like, come and, like, talk about their shit.
Yeah, I do want to talk about, actually, this new game coming out by the French developer. I want to talk, just in general, about French game development as a whole. I think it is amazing. I mean, Hazelight, right? French studio. They're doing, they did It Takes Two, Split Fiction. A Way Out, right? We're playing through Split Fiction right now. Amazing game. This game coming out by this French
studio. I did not love that we were both on the same internet, I will say.
Yeah, that was tough because we were streaming at the same time, and you were still on 1440p at that point, right?
Yeah, because I have better internet than Oath does, spoilers. So I stream in 2K when I'm at my house.
Shout out Spectrum.
Shout out Google Fiber.
Yeah, I had to call Spectrum today because they... For some reason, this is the router and the modem would not connect to each other, and we were getting red lights. And we were getting internet just fine all day, and then I unplug it, replug it, and it's just like, nope. Nope. And so I had to give a call. Or that was actually yesterday, wasn't it?
That was yesterday, because we were trying to go live. We're like, we'll be live at 5:30, and then it's fucking like 6:15. We're like, please.
Please. Please. Yeah, but so this game is called Clair Obscur Expedition 33. It comes out like April 27th, and it is a game about... The paintress is the main villain, and the way it works is every year she paints a number, and if you are the age of the number that she paints, you will die. And this is the year that she had painted the number 33. The main character is Gustav, who is 33, and they are sending out an expedition to try to kill the paintress so that that all the 33-year-olds don't die. So you're following Gustav mainly, and you have his like a little adopted sister, kind of Mael. Who apparently...
An Atreus type character.
Huh?
An Atreus type character.
Maybe a little bit, yeah. But it's voiced by Ben Starr, who voiced Clive in Final Fantasy 16. Okay. Or the new game that's coming out, Kazan the First Berserker. He also voices him. He's getting a ton of voice work. He also did like the Square Enix Spring Sale commercial where he was like being all goofy and like, I'm Clive. Like it was very funny. But he is a 10 out of 10 voice actor. Him, Neil Newbon. Samantha Bearhart, all of those voice actors, Matthew Mercer, like I'm a big voice actor guy. And then beyond that, I love the story. But the thing that really intrigues me most about this game is the fact that it is a turn-based combat game that has inspiration from Legend of Dragoon. And the main inspiration is like a quick time event to actually get your turn-based attacks to take place. So it's not just, I'm going to click attack and then choose the attack. You choose your attack, but then you also have to input like a button combination on top of that within a certain frame of time to make the attack more efficient.
You know who already did this shit?
Who?
Mario and Luigi Superstar Sagas for the Game Boy Advance, baby. Like, you can't just like click attack with a hammer button. You have to like go up and then it would like fucking vibrate. And if you don't hit A at the same time, like your hammer fucking falls off and your attack does nothing. When the enemies are attacking you, you can like do different evasive maneuvers. Like if they're like jumping at you, you can like fucking jump and then like attack and like or jump and like hit them and like counterattack. Or if they're like throwing something at you, you can like hit it with a hammer. And it's like all like time based like that. So fucking. Don't get me wrong. It is a cool concept. I loved that game. But fucking, we've been doing this shit since like 03, baby.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I think it, like, the part of it is not just like pressing the buttons, because like obviously that has been done before from Legend of Dragoon, Mario Superstars. It's like the way that they actually developed it. You're pressing the button and it's like insta reactive, and like the boss reacts, and you've got like these chain attacks that you can do with positioning your party members in the battlefield as well. Mm-hmm. So it's not just like you got your three guys standing in a line and then you got the enemy on the other side of the screen type deal. You've got like movement within the battle to kind of increase your chances of dealing more like damage and hitting
Final Fantasy Tactics Fire Emblem type beat, or no?
So it's like freedom of movement. Like you can walk around like with however you want. Okay. It's not like tile based or anything like that.
Sure.
But the combat is like a mix of both Chrono Trigger with the different like how you can place your teammates, and then also the Legend of Dragoon inspiration. And if you go to their website, it literally says like lists off their inspiration. The top five are like Kingdom Hearts 2, Legend of Dragoon, Chrono Trigger, you know, and then like basically I think a couple more Mario games. I think actually there's like two Mario games on there, so you were right there. But I would really recommend, I'm probably gonna do a 24-hour stream for that game, like, or it will, I don't know how long it's gonna take. I think it's probably like 30 hours, but I'm gonna definitely,
you're gonna do like single playthrough.
Yeah,
okay,
but I'm not gonna rip it. I'm gonna sleep at night.
Coward.
Don't call me a coward. I want to enjoy it. I don't want to like forget half of it because I was just like on 0 hours of sleep in the last 30 hours. You know what I mean? I want to be able to have a good time. But I think the characters in that game are really fleshed out. I think that French developers are just killing it. They really are. The French devs are killing it. Those are like the two main examples I have, is just Hazelight and then Expedition 33. But I am a big, big fan of any French devs. So shout out French devs. If you guys see this, come on the pod. We'll have a conversation. I'd love to interview anybody who worked on Expedition 33. If you're like a side.
Wait, so is Expedition 33 the name of the game or the studio?
So Expedition 33 is the name of the game. It's called Clair Obscur Expedition, like colon Expedition 33.
Sure. Who's the studio then?
I will find that out right now.
Fake ass fan
indeed.
I did tell him to do research for gaming news while I was taking a shit, and then he fell asleep.
Well, I did fall asleep one, but you told me to look up tech news.
Well, I said gaming or tech, because that's like, you know, the kind of stuff we do here.
So the devs for Expedition 33 right now are, well, not right now, as if it's going to change.
What's that? It's Epic Games from the top rope.
Hold, please.
Hold.
Yegog, cut this out.
Nope.
Yegog, leave this in.
Yegog, slow this down, even.
Slow this down. Slow this down. All right, I like that. The developers are... Why did I type Dex and not devs? Holy shit, chat. Sandfall Interactive is the name of the company.
Wow.
And I don't think they've made a single game before this, so this will be the inaugural game for that studio. I'm really hoping that they drop the demo for the public. Yeah, yawn in my fucking conversation. Like, unbelievable.
Run it back. That's kind of hype.
It is kind of hype, yeah. So... the game will be available next month. It's going to be like a 30-hour adventure. I'm going to be playing a lot of it. I'm super excited for it. And I think that it is going... like, the demo part was private. I'm really hoping that they make like a public 3-hour demo where you like your save progress will carry over, because they gave like preview copies of the demo to like journalists and shit. And all the journalists are giving it 10 out of 10, being like, this is going to be real special.
Mm.
So I just hope that we get something before April 27th to like play around with a little bit. But honestly, it is what it is. If we don't, I'm still buying it. I'm still playing all of it. You know what I mean? Mm. Unless it just like truly sucks ass.
All right. We need to validate our gamer cred here. Give me a top five games.
Top five games. Kingdom Hearts 2. Final Fantasy 10. Those are my top two. And then the 3, 4, 5 slot get a little bit dicey. I will say I'm a big Sony head. Ghost of Tsushima. Have you ever played Ghost of Tsushima?
No.
Ghost of Tsushima. That goes on my number 3 probably all time. It is the story of a samurai and his
cried a river and drowned the whole world.
Huh?
The story of a girl who cried a river and drowned the whole world.
No.
And while she looks so sad in photographs, you absolutely love her.
I'm going to kill myself.
When she smiles.
I'm going to blow my shit off smooth.
But it's a story of a...
It's the story, basically, of a samurai who is a part of this honored family. And then the Mongols come to the island and kill everybody. They wipe them out. They're not prepared at all. They attack during the night. And you, as the ghost, who is like somebody who was supposed to die in the attack. Like everybody thinks that you died and then you come back and that's where you get the name the ghost. And you have to kind of battle with being an honorable samurai and also having to just win by any means necessary or die to these Mongols.
Are you sure they weren't just watching like Atriox streams when he was playing Fall Guys and they were like, damn, it's the ghost. Fucking sick.
I think Ghost of Tsushima came out before that. So I think Atriox bit their shit, Loki. Atriox would never. He would never bite anybody. Atriox
would never do anything controversial.
Never. Atriox, yeah. All right. Sure.
Well,
no one fact checked that.
No one fact checked
no
that.
No one ever fact checked that. So, and basically, like the whole game is you, like, kind of battling with, you know, utilizing unhonorable tactics versus, you know, being an honorable samurai from this family. Then all you've ever known your whole life is being honorable. So it's a very cool game. You can also do like a black and white Japanese cinema mode where it makes it look like a classic Japanese movie while you're playing through the entire thing. And the hard mode is one of the hardest modes in any game. Like, it's one hit death. Like, you get cut with the samurai sword, you will die. So it's a very cool hard mode. Like, every part of that game is super cool. So that's my third. I would say my fourth favorite one would have to be, I really liked Half-Life 2. Half-Life 2 is just, that feels like a cop-out, low-key.
Sure.
Because you gotta, you like, but you just have to throw it in there. I love Half-Life 2. I played every Half-Life except for Alex because I don't have a VR headset. I'm super excited for Half-Life 3. They were going to make a DLC for Half-Life 2 where it was like Half-Life 2 Episode 3. Because they did like a Half-Life 2 episode 1 and a Half-Life 2 episode 2, which is like a kind of like a little mini sequels. But Half-Life 2 part 3 was going to cover like this. Do you know the Half-Life lore at all?
Not even a little bit.
So it was going to cover like ice. And there was going to be like a lot of different ice powers. Okay. And that just hadn't been in Half-Life yet because, you know, like you got the gravity gun where you can like shoot.
I do know the gravity gun.
That was super revolutionary in terms of like just in gaming. That had not been like a thing that had been available to anyone before, and now you've got like all kinds of physics stuff. So they really revolutionized physics, and I was just excited to see like what kind of way they can incorporate like the gravity gun with the ice level, and also it would just further the story, right? The story is what we all care about, because Half-Life, if you're familiar, the end of Half-Life is a cliffhanger. The end of Half-Life 2 is just a genuine cliffhanger, and we've been waiting for 20 years for that cliffhanger to be resolved, basically. So that's my fourth, and then my
really it's coming.
Hey, this year, chat. No,
with Silk Song.
Honestly, my guess is that it does come out because Gaben basically confirmed it on the 25th anniversary of Half-Life, which happened recently. He was like, "I don't want to make Half-Life 3 unless I can guarantee that it is going to be innovative and bring something that has not been brought to gaming before." And he goes, "I think we can do that now." After saying that, so that's like him being like, I see a reason to make Half-Life 3 at this point. So I think it is in dev for sure. I think we'll probably see something in the next 2 to 5 years.
I don't think 25 years, I hope so.
Yeah, next 25 years. But yeah, my fifth favorite game, I think, is God of War Ragnarok, the new God of War, the second one. Mm-hmm. I really like that game. That game, even though you can tell there was cut content in the third act, like the story itself was very like emotional and compelling, and I really enjoyed it.
Did you ever play any of the OG God of Wars?
I played every God of War that ever existed except for the PSP one.
I was about to say Ghosts of Sparta.
I did not play that one.
Damn, but thank man. Can't believe you don't have it like that. That's crazy.
Nah, what's your top five though?
Number one, Final Fantasy IX. Final Fantasy is my favorite franchise of all time. And so I fucking love all of them.
You're just about to drop five Final Fantasies. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
I could. But no, I'm trying to limit to one franchise, but I do think Final Fantasy 6 would make it into my top five realistically, but we'll just say 9. Also Kingdom Hearts 2.
Okay.
Ratchet and Clank Going Commando.
Great game.
Fucking banger after banger. Baldur's Gate 3.
True.
Fucking insanely sick.
It's true.
Like, I don't know. Everything about it is just like fucking flawless, and it's funny.
Have you
and,
beaten it?
Why don't you mind your business?
I actually didn't know.
Yeah,
that was a shot in the dark. Yeah, that's crazy.
Now, I like made it like halfway through Act Two like three times, and I get bored with my characters. Like, all right, we run it again.
Act Two is the weakest act for sure. Mm-hmm. Act Three and Act One are.
Well, perfect. It's not even like anything about the quest. It's just like I just like see videos for like all these really cool builds, and like so I'll be like, you know, doing my cool build, and I'm like, what if I just fucking like scrapped it over and started from the beginning? Okay. So the game is actually it's too good to complete.
Yeah. It is one of those ones where, like, kind of like Skyrim, where you start like 7,000 playthroughs, but you never actually go kill Anduin or whatever the fuck his name is.
Alduin.
Sorry.
I'm
not a real Elder Scroller, chat.
Yeah.
Elder Scroller.
He don't be scrolling.
Hardly know her.
I can't believe you'd make such like a lowbrow joke like that. That's crazy.
It's true. I'm the only one who ever makes those jokes, chat. It's just me.
Yep. This is the first time we've ever recorded content like
Final Fantasy 9.
Yes.
Kingdom Hearts 2.
Yep.
Baldur's Gate 3.
Yep.
Give me your final two.
Ratchet and Clank, Going Commando.
Oh, right. Going Commando. That's four.
And then your last one that you're going to love.
I'm going to hate this one, chat.
Pokemon Emerald.
Okay, I do love Emerald. No, I actually do love
Emerald. Bro gives me shit about liking Pokemon all the time.
That is my favorite Pokemon is Pokemon Emerald, though. I love Pokemon Emerald.
Yeah.
Who's your favorite Pokemon?
Of all time?
In Emerald.
Oh, in Emerald.
Yeah.
That was it, because my favorite Pokemon is not in Emerald. In Emerald, then it would be Shuppet.
I think Rayquaza.
Wow, you're so cool.
I'm so basic, chat.
It hurts. Shuppet's my second favorite Pokemon of all time. He's just a cute little guy hanging out, guys being dudes. My favorite Pokemon of all time, though, is Ampharos.
Ampharos.
He's a little Gen 2 guy.
Is that the one with the weird like elephant kind of nose? Like this anteater style?
He's a yellow guy. He's got little like bulbs, and he's based off a kangaroo apparently.
Oh, I see. Yeah, I've got the image in my head. It's like a kind of like a this shape.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Gotcha.
He's a cute little guy. I love him. He starts off as a sheep, and then he becomes like a weird shaped sheep, and then it becomes a kangaroo for some reason. Okay. And then his mega gets fucking like Fabio ass hair.
He's mogging us, chat.
He is, and he gets the dragon typing for some reason.
It's not Mega Ampharos. It's mogging Ampharos. Ampharos just sitting there mewing. All right, so those are our top five games. That's super sick.
I'll say, and then also shout out Legend of Zelda Wind Waker.
Shout out Wind Waker for sure. Yeah, we love Wind Waker. Not the best Legend of Zelda, but close.
All right, that's the one my grandma and I would play when I was a kid. So,
I feel that.
Yeah.
I think the best Legend of Zelda is probably like Breath of the Wild. I think Breath of the Wild is better than Tears of the Kingdom, low key.
I really thought you were gonna say something equally as bossless, like Majora's Mask.
No. I've never played Ocarina or Majora's.
Okay.
Yeah, I can't accurately rate them.
I will say I've never played Majora's Mask because any game on a timer stresses me the fuck out. Like I never played Dead Rising 2 or any of the Dead Rising.
That's a fake timer though. That's not a real timer in Majora's Mask. Like you can play forever.
I mean, yeah, but
yeah.
Excuse me.
As a kid, the moon was looking at me scary.
Well, I don't want to have to fucking reset my shit every 3 hours.
I mean, that's you just literally put a button combo in, dead ass, and just turn back time to the good old days.
When mom would sing us to sleep, but now we're stressed out.
I still sleep.
So the thing I've learned about this motherfucker, he doesn't know any song, as it turns out.
No, I know some of every song.
True.
I just don't know.
He knows like 2 or 3 words. He does not know a full sentence in any song.
The thing is, I want to sing, but I don't know the words. So I'm going to fill them in. I'm going to make up my own story. Just like Titus. This is my story.
And so we were talking about is it Titus versus Titus. I get that it's Titus, but I like Titus because it sounds better. And you're like, oh, because he's like a water-based guy. No, it's because Titus is a real name. There just are people named Titus.
I mean, there's people named Titus, T-I-T-U-S. I don't know about T-I-T-U-S.
Correct. But it's still like fucking the brain logic there would be is like, oh, it's basically the same thing. It's just Titus.
Yeah, no, I hear you. It's T-I-D-U-S instead of T-E-E-D-U-S for sure. So I get Titus.
Yeah. But the fact that like your reasoning was because water, not because fucking Titus is
tide. Literally, tide is like a water feature, no? I don't know. I mean, call me crazy. Call me crazy.
Speaking of feature, I used to do a podcast called Tier Above. And our whole gimmick was we would do a tier list every more lore. After I got into the streaming thing, I had seen S3K, who were the A-Track leeches, and I was like, damn, that seems kind of cool. I should do that. So we started LSF, the Leeching Stance Frogs. And it was me, CurlyAtta1, Lion Eagle, Truthmane, and Noisy Jody. And it was fucking sick, and it was fun, and we had a podcast, and we did 50 episodes of the LSF podcast. And on episode 50, we got Stance on, and it was sick. And that was our finale, because, you know, nothing controversial happened with Atrioc. And we were like, damn, maybe having our entire online existence based around someone else, not the smartest of moves. And so we pivoted away from Stance. We still love Stance. Stance is the goat. But we became tier buff. And so we had the tier buff podcast, and we would do tier lists every week. And that was the gimmick. And so since we both work in education, we were like, what if we taught a mini lesson to each other each episode? So you're going to learn, we're going to learn. So what do you know about Missouri?
What do I know about Missouri? Y'all got good ball down there. Y'all play some good football down there in Missouri.
So I fucking always was an anti-Chiefs person because growing up a fucking edgy, I was like, I don't want to be like my dad. My dad's a fucking Chiefs fan. So I was like, I'm going to be a Raiders fan. Fuck you. And I was that for like 22,
Oakland Raiders.
Yeah. like 22, 23 years. And then I was like, man, telling people I'm a Raiders fan just isn't fun anymore.
Well, like every single player that gets drafted by the Raiders just immediately commits murder or like grand larceny or the worst physical crime you could imagine.
Correct. And so I was just really tired of having a bad team where, and also fucking everyone, they're shitty on and off the field. I was like, you know what? The bit's not funny anymore. So I was fucking reaching around, pulled a random like team that's doing all right, not great out of a hat. I said, the Cincinnati Bengals.
Oh no.
The year they ended up going to the Super Bowl. And I was like, what? Now I look like a bandwagoner. Two, we had beat the Chiefs in the AFC playoffs. So now the fucking Chiefs hate the Bengals. So I'm just like destined to be hated by Chiefs fans no matter who I root for. I was like, God damn it.
So funny.
Yes. So we're a Bengals fan. What was the point? Oh, so yes, a ball. And now that the fucking Chiefs have become the New England Patriots, I'm just like, God bless. I'm fucking so glad I'm not a Chiefs fan.
Listen, you can say what you want about the Chiefs. They did lose the Super Bowl this year. Yeah, they did. No three-peat for Patty.
Correct.
They were hyping it up all year, like the three-peat.
Literally
the
three-peat, preseason the game one, it was like the three-peat.
Everybody wanted the three-peat. I'm a Panthers fan. I wanted Patrick Mahomes to step on a Lego every single play. That's pretty much
what happened in the Super Bowl.
That is what I wanted. I feel like the Eagles just swarmed their shit. They weren't ready.
Yeah, fucking, it helps when like half your D-line fucking dies, but it's fine. Yeah.
All right, so we're learning shit. So Missouri.
We have ball.
What the fuck else y'all got in Missouri?
What's that? We got St. Louis Arch. We got some fire-ass barbecue. But also, in Missouri, we have caves. We have Fantastic Caverns, which is like a pretty like popular touristy spot. But we also have cheese caves. Because the government
cheese caves
has been storing cheese in Missouri. We have fucking cheese caves. This is a picture of Fantastic Caverns. Very cool. Very, very touristy. You can, like I said, you can take a tram ride through the caverns and just like look at these like really cool limestone naturally forming caves. It's pretty cool. Honestly, I've never been, but I should go. It seems fucking sick.
It does seem sick.
But that being said, now that you know the fact that the government is storing cheese in these caves, how much cheese do you think? I can guarantee you whatever your guess is, it's higher.
Just based on what I'm looking at here, is this in that cave?
This is not in that cave.
This is not in the cave? Probably like, I don't know, like 1,000 tons.
What would that be in pounds?
It's 2,000 times 1,000. So like it would be million? 6. Yeah, like 1,000,000 pounds.
Okay. What if I told you that the government is currently hosting 1.4 billion.
What?
With a B pounds of cheese in Springfield, Missouri?
We have 1,000,000,000 pounds of cheese? Why is that shit so expensive?
So fucking.
Why is it so expensive?
Why
then?
Is it so expensive? So in Missouri, they had a limestone quarry, and the people that were doing the limestone quarrying, they were like, damn, you know, this limestone shit's gonna run out eventually. We need to have like a pivot set up. The pivot was they were gonna switch to doing storage. Because you know, underground, it's like climate controlled, kind of. Like it just like being naturally underground, it is always like a perfect, like, you know, 60 degrees in there.
Yeah.
And so they were like, what if we just had a fucking warehouse? And that warehouse is 3.2 million square miles. Wow. It literally, like, it has its own power grid. There's trains underneath that, holy like, shit, run just in the fucking warehouse. It's crazy.
Is it cooled?
It is cooled. Yes.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
3.2 million square miles?
Yes. Under Springfield, Missouri, of just caves that people use for storing.
Isn't that, like, half the state? Worth of caves?
Well, because I don't know. Because it was a quarry. So it's gonna be like lines
and levels
go down.
To it.
Yeah, it's like a repurposed mine.
That's incredible.
It is incredible.
That's so much space.
Yes. So it started in 1949. Coming out of the war, the milk prices were really volatile, and so our fucking goat Harry S. Truman.
Shout out Harry S.
Shout out Harry S. Also from Missouri, by the way.
It stands for S. What?
Yeah, the S in Harry F. Truman doesn't stand for anything.
Oh!
It's literally just S. And if you had a nickel for every time a U.S. president had an S that stood for nothing, you'd have two nickels.
Oh, no, no, no.
U.S. presidents.
No!
But no, so because prices were so volatile, he was like, hey, you know, I want to help out the dairy industry. If you guys, if people aren't buying your shit, we will buy your shit no matter what. But the problem with that is that, one, dairy fucking spoils. And two, there's like nowhere to fucking keep the shit. So they just turned it all into fucking cheese. And because corporations can definitely be trusted, I've
never had a corporation betray me.
So if the government's going to buy our shit no matter what, they just fucking sent dairy production through the fucking roof because they knew the government would buy it no matter what.
Holy shit.
Yeah, so they started overproducing a fuck ton of milk. And then eventually we had like hundreds of millions of pounds of cheese. And they were like, damn, we really just need to like send the shit into the ocean. And Reagan took over.
What?
And he was like, hey, we're gonna stop doing the shit because it's fucking bullshit. And like the government cheese was like a symbolism of just like government overreach and the fact that like we're doing too much and like not, you know, like spending our money how we should be spending.
Are we at least selling the cheese out of the caves?
Enter Donald Trump.
Oh no.
Back in 2016, he was like, you know what? I'm gonna start giving subsidies to the dairy farmers again.
What?
Yes, I don't know. Like
we have billions of pounds of cheese.
No, so we were at hundreds of million when Trump reintroduced the thing because dairy production is like more efficient than it's ever been. Again, through the fucking roof, baby, and that's what got us to our 1.4 billion number that we're at today.
I'm gonna freak out.
Yeah, like so we literally had so much cheese that like we need to fucking just like dump the shit in the ocean.
I'm gonna again. They brought it up again.
Well, no, but like we had that much cheese, and then fucking we have even more now, thanks to Lord Emperor God.
Are we selling any of it?
Great question. Because it is government stuff, and like our taxpayers or like our tax money is going to this, you can contact your local SDA, and each American is entitled to 2 pounds of cheese. You just have to call and request it.
Yo, really?
Yeah, so fucking go get your fucking bag, dude. Get your cheese.
Wait, so they're not even selling it? They're just giving it away?
Yeah, you can just like call and get your 2 pounds of cheese.
Man, so this is a shit that Doge should be taking care of, not eliminating Medicaid. They should be
not getting abolishing rid of the fucking
cheese mines. Yeah. Why are we not selling the cheese?
Yeah. So yeah, that's the Missouri cheesecake.
I'm gonna freak out. I'm gonna freak out.
Like I said, whatever your guess was, it was gonna be higher.
A billion?
Billion with a B.
That's insane.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm gonna freak out. That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Who's eating all that? Do you think there's like a cheese guy in there? Is like, my cheese.
I wonder, like, is it good cheese? Like, do they like hire fucking like good like cheese people to like do like, or because are they doing a variety of cheese or is like it all just straight cheddar?
I mean, how probably not. It's probably just the most basic bitch cheese of all time, like a straight up like basic block of like the yellowest cheese you've ever seen. Because isn't that the easiest cheese? Just cheddar.
I believe cheddar is the easiest.
Yeah,
or an American processed cheese product is
like
also
sharp cheddar or some shit.
Well, because sharp is just usually how long it's
aged. Yeah, well, I mean, billions.
Yeah, I was gonna say,
some of it gonna be sharp.
I want the oldest fucking wheel they got in that bitch.
Like they pull something out from 1862. You're taking a bite for real.
1949. So
okay, so max 70-year-old. Got it.
Yeah,
close enough.
Yeah, well, yeah, I'll be pushing 80-year-old cheese.
Yeah, 80-year-old cheese. My grandpa going to the doctor's office, getting his dick checked. Sir, that's 80-year-old cheese.
And that has been the first episode of Soft Lock Cafe.
Thank you guys for tuning in. Make sure to tune in next time. If you enjoyed the episode, go down below, drop a like, and make sure to subscribe to the channel. Thank you.
Live wherever you have podcasts. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube.
Apple. Yep. You said that.
It's not that hard. I got you.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. Raise hell, praise Dale.
Shout out, podcasts. Fucking cheese.